Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs, and I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It's my absolute privilege and pleasure to be your host on tonight's call, the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset call. I have crossed the bridge of 18 consecutive years of hosting this call on Tuesday nights at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. Only one time in those 18 years was there ever a technological glitch. I've never missed a call other than one time. There was Christmas, and we did not do that call. So two times in 18 years that I have missed hosting this call on the Tuesday night, More Heart Than Talent. I have an exceptional guest and friend, Joy Schoenholtz, on tonight's call with me. I know Joy is already on the call, and I'll be interviewing Joy in a few minutes. In the interim, I'm going to cover a few announcements. Then we'll move into the inspirational portion or interview of tonight's call. And I'm really inspired to interview Joy. She's not only a first-class woman mompreneur, but also an exceptional friend of mine that I've had the privilege of collaborating with and dining in numerous New York restaurants with. So I'm very inspired for tonight's call. This Saturday, my first time ever in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Portsmouth is going to be a fabulous event. I want to thank my first class and exceptional client and friend, Abby O'Neill, for hosting the event. It will be a standing room only event. I will be speaking from 9 until 3. This is a generic event from 9 until 3. A fabulous opportunity if you live in the Boston area or anywhere in that area to see me in the northeast portion of the United States. Saturday, October 1st, Jeremy Engel will be hosting his first More Heart Than Talent event. Jeremy is an exceptional client, friend, and triathlete who will be hosting his event next Saturday in beautiful Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Being a Midwestern boy, I've had the privilege of speaking and being in Milwaukee on numerous occasions. October 8th, our tonight's guest, Joy Schoenholtz, is one of the hosts of the October 8th event in Long Island with Kelly Bartoletti. It was Joy's dream and idea to bring me to Long Island with Kelly back in 2014, and I routinely speak in Long Island 3 to 4 times a year. Saturday, October 15th, I'll be in Columbia, South Carolina. October 22nd, I will be in Tampa, Florida. In Columbia, I will be my host is Carlotta Davis. October 22nd, C.G. Siddons will also be speaking with me. October 29th, for the first time in 3 years, I'll be in Missoula, Montana. Now, where is Missoula? For those of you who remember the movie, a river runs through it. A lot of that movie was filmed in that area, and that river is beautiful. I've had the opportunity to actually walk across that river on the stones. November 3rd, 4th, and 5th is the Protégé Writer Speakers Workshop. That is the advanced course for my coaching clients, Breakthroughs to Success clients, who want to enhance their ability to articulate their feelings, build a brand, and really take their writing, speaking, video, and branding career to the next level. November 12th, I'll be in Dallas, Texas for the first time doing a generic event for 4 years. November 19th, I'll be in Weehawken, New Jersey with Don Ferrantino. Don absolutely crushed it last Saturday in Clark, New Jersey. December 3rd, Atlanta, Georgia. Ryan Graham from Paint Me of Birmingham, that's where Ryan lives, Birmingham, Alabama, will be my host at that event. And then December 17th, it will be the end of the era for 2016 for me, as I will be hosting my last event of 2016 in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Now, already 2017 is on the books. January 21st, I'm going to be in Marina Del Rey with Brittany Cara and Melissa Campbell. That will be a rocking event. I love Los Angeles. And then for the first time, I'll be in New Orleans, Louisiana in 5 years. I want to thank Stephanie and Zach DeRocher, who stepped to the plate. We're going to be at the Hilton New Orleans Airport, and I guarantee you I'll be dining on Friday night in one of the best restaurant cities in the United States, New Orleans, with Zach and Stephanie. And the tickets will be available for that event in the next couple of days. All the other events, tickets are available to be purchased. And for anyone who wants to take advantage of one of my 15 minutes of free coaching, send me a Facebook message with your phone number and what you seek for me to assist you with. That's for first-time people who have never had a coaching session with me. Feel free to contact me. And that is my Facebook page, Jeffrey Combs, J-E-F-F-E-R-Y. It is now my exceptional privilege to be able to introduce tonight's guest. It has been a dream of mine to have Joy on my call. That is Joy Schoenholtz. I had the privilege of meeting Joy about 4 years ago at one of her company events. She was a rising superstar in her company at that time. She had left another company, joined her existing company now. She went on to be one of the millionaires in that company. She's one of the under 200 millionaires in her company. She is the mother of two, an exceptional woman. She is also a mompreneur, a multi-business owner, graduate of Fashion Institute of New York. She's a mompreneur, lives on Long Island, New York, is passionate about inspiring people to live their absolute best lives, no matter what the circumstances. Joy is also the queen of overcoming adversity, and she has previously been in the fashion industry as well as real estate in the resort area of Long Island. She's experienced health, personal, and financial challenges several times in her life, and through it all, she has consistently overcome the obstacles, maintaining a mindset of prosperity and abundance. She is the number 191st millionaire in her company and attributes much of her success to being open to coaching and taking responsibility for where she is at any given moment in her consciousness. Joy Schoenholtz, great to have you on tonight's call.
Thank you so much, Jeff. What an incredible introduction. I appreciate it.
I am good at that, aren't I? Edifying?
You really are. Yes, you are.
I love it. I love to edify my clients because I love my clients. And you are one of those clients that I have absolutely collaborated with, contributed with. We've hosted events together, dined together, spent some great time with you and Kelly and me. You've really shared some great restaurants with me in Long Island. But most importantly, you have consistently promoted events that I have done with you where you have spoken, contributed. So great to have you on tonight's call.
Thank you.
Now, I know a lot about you because I have spent QT time with you, quality time. I've been in your Mercedes, spent a lot of windshield time driving around with you. I happen to know that you are from an exceptional country, Brazil. Is that correct?
Yes, it is, Jeff. São Paulo.
So you're right. You have that Brazilian look about you. You could be Italian. You could be Portuguese. You could be Spanish. But you are a New Yorker. Is that right?
Yes, I am. Been here a long time.
Not quite a native New Yorker, but a New Yorker.
Yes.
Jill, what did your family own businesses, and you grew up in New York. What kind of family did you grow up in?
Jeff, I actually grew up in Brazil. My father owned a factory, a clothing factory in the 70s, and he also had a retail shop where he would sell the clothing from. And I'm in the middle. It's four of us, and I have two older brothers and a younger sister. And I used to think, the old way of thinking was, I grew up in a really nice family. I had a good childhood, not realizing that there was a lot of violation in my family and passive aggressiveness, pretty toxic overall. And it affected me in so many ways, Jeff, especially in the relationships that I attracted in my life, not only in romantic relationships, but in friendships and also in business relationships.
Yes, I can relate. You and I have had many of conversations about this. We will tend to attract passive-aggressive people to our reality, fulfill our disappointment. And we both share this in common. We are so done with that, aren't we?
Oh, yes, we are. It's in the past, for sure.
Let's jump forward to your entrepreneurial career because you have a fascinating career. You have fashion, real estate, direct sales. You've worn many, many outfits as an entrepreneur and businesswoman. You're also the mother of two beautiful 11-year-old twin daughters. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, Jeff.
And their name are?
Isabel and Sophia. And they've attended probably almost all of the events that I've hosted for you on Long Island.
And not only have they attended, but they are stellar young women who unequivocally come to the events. They're attentive. They bring their coloring books. They're awesome. I appreciate you bringing them to the events. I've had my picture taken with them. But as a businesswoman, there's a lot of listeners on tonight's call that really want to know what you've done to overcome some of the challenges. Because, Joy, you're well on your way to your first seven-figure income. If it's not this year, it will be next year. And it wasn't that long ago that I met you about four years ago, where you were just starting to break through into that type of income. So to share with the folks a little bit about your journey as a businesswoman.
Jeff, you know what? I've always had a burning desire to be an entrepreneur. I just never knew really how to go about it. And network marketing was presented to me several years ago. Like you had mentioned before, I was with another network marketing company. What I had, though, and what I really wanted to overcome, and you presented it to me in one of our coaching sessions and also at Breakthroughs, was that I had the law of the lid, meaning, and I'm sure there are people on the call tonight that could relate to that. I was only able to earn what I believed I was worth, so I could never break through that lid. And I was pretty successful in fashion, in real estate, but I've also had a lot of moments where I was struggling. I was a single mom, barely able to buy groceries at one point. Like you said, I have twin girls, and I have been in that situation where I've been in the supermarket parking lot pulling in with my daughters in the back seat with that angst in my stomach, looking at a plastic Ziploc bag with singles, $5 in coins, saying, how am I going to buy groceries tonight? But yet, Jeff, really understanding that it's a journey, and I hated being in that situation at the time, but understanding that if I worked, and I felt this, I've always felt this, that if I worked on myself, truly worked on myself, and whether it was attracting mentors or reading books and CDs or workshops, that at some point I would break through that. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. You know, I've coached numerous people today, and I was sharing them a little about your story, because what a lot of women want to know, and men, is this: How do I? How did you do it? I mean, that's the thing. You don't have to go into that, but that's the most common situation. Now, here's what I want to ask you, because I know you, so I know what you've been through. I've spent a lot of quality time with you. I know the overwhelmed state you're in, and that's what I really want you to share with people, because you were in the NFL club. You're in no friends left, no funds left, and you're not at the top of your game. When you were near that bottom with two twin daughters, and you were not receiving support, how were you able to overcome the emotional challenges of not having any money and still stay in the business and still have some level of belief that you could succeed?
Jeff, there were so many times that I hit rock bottom, and you know some of my story. And, you know, for those of you that are on the call tonight, and I'm actually going to say some of your names because I feel it's important to let you know that I hear you, that you're on the call, and my intention is always to inspire at least one person that's going to be listening when I share my story. So to Jamie and Zach and Corey and Caitlin and Jeremy, you know, you might have experienced something like this, but for me, my story is this. I wasn't raised in a family that empowered me. I didn't get the support. As a matter of fact, I heard things from my brother that, you know, there was always name calling. He was physically abusive to me. He was verbally abusive to me. It wasn't so much my parents. My mom was passive aggressive, but my brothers really were the male influence of being in my life, saying that I'm not worthy, that I grew up feeling that I wasn't worthy of success, or I wasn't worthy of healthy relationships, and that's what I was attracting. And the decision, because it was a choice, it came when I hit rock bottom. And I always say that life is a series of these aha moments. I don't know if I share this with you, Jeff, but I feel like we go through life and everything's great, and then something hits us and we fall down. And then we could choose to get back up. And you say it all the time, like you've said it about like not having a bad day. Well, I call it like being above the line or below the line. And I was below the line a lot. And below the line is like depression and anger and fear and sadness. But I realized that I had a choice to get above that line. And above that line is empowerment and happiness contribution and being in service to others. And the minute that I got above the line, and I stayed there a lot quicker, the more that it became abundant. And coaching with you, Jeff, I have to share this with everyone. There's something about your coaching that it might have not landed right away. We had a breakthrough the first time I spoke to you. You said to me, who violated you? I never ever realized that I had violation in my family. But that was the initial, like the initial call with you. But there were bigger aha moments and breakthroughs that I had from coaching with you that were maybe a month after I coached with you. And it has inspired me and it has affected me more than anything else and all the workshops that I've done, because you brought the mirror up so close to me and I had no choice but really take a look at what was able to be, what I was able to shift that was no longer working for me. And it was a mirror that I looked at myself and I loved it without judgment, because we judge ourselves so much from all like the past bullshit that people have told us that we start to really believe it. And, you know, you said to me, well, what did you do? How did you do it? It's been freaking years of working on myself, but having the ultimate like you walking into my life, and it could be anybody, you know, it could have been anybody, but you happen to have ignited that empowerment, that true, like badass empowerment, especially as a woman.
The edge, I brought the edge to your edge.
Edge, yes, where like one of my things, and can I share this? I wrote this and I have it on a board and I'd like to share it because—
Are you sweating? You have so much passion.
I'm sweating.
I am sweating.
Jeff. It's my rules of life to live by. And I wrote this and I read it and I'm looking at it and I'm like, God, so much I have to attribute is to being open to being coached, because you have to first be open to it. So one of the things is, if I could share anything with you guys,
you know why
call,
a lot of people don't coach, can't be coached, because they're too sensitive and defensive.
That's very true, Jeff.
They say,
that's
I want to be
true.
Coached, but they don't want to be confronted. Now, confrontation in context, not in someone's face, but being able to confront the ghost of your past. Most people don't confront that ghost of their past because they're anxious about what they'd find. On the other side of that is really liberation, which is what you find. And you had repressed a lot of situations that happened, and I'm very skilled at being able to bring that to the surface diplomatically. I assisted you to let go of that, and then it changed your whole attractor factor.
It did, Jeff. It did. And you're right. I am sweating. I'm so passionate about this. And to be on the other side is liberating. There's great power in surrendering to the fact that you get to take a look at all the crap in your life and be able to get through to the other side, because you made a decision to get through to the other side and not being a victim anymore, which there were times where I was a victim, where I was like, why is this happening to me? Why am I in another abusive relationship? Why, you know, why? So many whys.
Let's break that down. Why do we, and I'll include myself, why do we attract abusive relationships when we're in this space of, we're producing, we're productive, we feel right, we're breaking through, and we look up and we're like, you know that word. It's the same situation. We're right back in the mix. Why do we tend to do that?
For me, it's because I deep down did not feel I was worthy of anything better. And it felt comfortable. It felt comfortable. And not just in romantic relationships. Again, even in business, for those of you that have toxic people in your life, it feels comfortable. I didn't know anything else. So to have someone be passive aggressive with me was a comfortable thing. So I found myself attracting even potential prospects. I was recruiting people that were passive aggressive with me. No wonder my business wasn't flourishing at the time, and no wonder I was stagnant. I was at the same level. I had reached a level of success in the company that I'm with, but I stayed there for 3.5 years.
It was about $8,000 to $10,000 to $12,000, somewhere in that ballpark. Occasionally 15. It's the law of the lid. I hit the same plateau for about 3 years. I would actually bounce between about $5,000 to $15,000, and most of the money I would achieve would get chewed up in the business, events, seminars, rallies, and I would be rescuing my team. You know that routine, right?
Yes, I do.
Pumping up their volumes, controlling the control that kept, you know the deal. You got it, right? So this is what happened to you that you went from that law of your lid to where you're well on to seven figures? That's what people want to know.
What happened to me was that I made a decision to A, get rid of the toxic and negative people in my life.
I want to laugh at that. You know why? Because we all we say that. CG says that. I say it. Susan says it. I made a decision. And people go, is that all you just did? You just made it. Wasn't quite like that. Was.
It's, you know, Jeff, it's so, there is no, okay, this is what you do. There's step A, B, and C. What I have come to realize, it truly, and you talk about this too, it's truly who you become. It's not so much, yes, there's action steps. And one of the things that you're so clear about is not getting stuck in my head. I made the decision that, and it's, again, it's the making the decision. It's really powerful to be able to choose. When you're like, I don't know. It just keeps you in such a weak place. But the minute I made that decision, and I did because I was so freaking tired of where I was. And like you said, you don't have to hit bottom. But I was sick and tired of, first of all, me comparing myself. And that's one of my rules of life. It's like, do not compare yourself to anyone. Honor who you are. Highlight your greatness. And that's what I did because I was comparing myself to you or even Susan and Alexis, you know, so methodical and organized. I'm not that person. You know, and I'm sure there are people on the call that are not that kind of person. And I embraced it. I finally said, you know what? I'm not super organized. And I'm doing the best I can, and I could only operate at my best. But what I can do is hire an assistant. And that's what I did, Jeff. Several months ago, I hired an assistant, and it's been incredible. And the amount of productivity that I've created from that. But that's one of the things that I knew was really important, not to compare myself to others, because I kept myself stagnant comparing myself to others.
One thing I also witnessed, I witnessed your team change and shift a little, specifically two or three women in your team when you changed. It happened about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It was a very miraculous situation. Can you explain what happened?
I feel I inspired them. It's when you're playing a game, when you're playing the game to win, it's infectious. And I have a passion. I have a passion for inspiring people in general. I have a specific, also like very specific passion for inspiring women. It's something that's innate in me and also the younger generation. And I feel that when these women saw that I was like not taking any more crap from anyone anymore, that I released, you know, whether it was people in my business, people in my life, I literally blocked my brother's number from my phone. And a lot of people knew this. I've spoken at some of your events, my close friends, they knew about this. And when you do that, when you take those actions, you inspire others to do the same.
You did. And then you broke through. It's amazing. What tips would you give the listeners tonight in the next 90 days? Because we're at the end of the era here. 2016 is almost in the books. 2017 is right around the corner. You and I have heard the term 90-day game plan at least 100,000 times. But for people on the call tonight that aren't really in the flow, they're not in prosperity, what insight would you give them to overcome some of their anxieties that keep them doing the same thing over and over?
Okay. Jeff, you know what? I have various things to share, and I've been saying this a lot lately. I can't give you a to-do list, but I could give you a to-be list.
That was good.
Yeah, it's something that I wrote down, and I read it every day because that's me. That's who I am. So the B list is always speak your mind and your heart. And stop monitoring yourself. Like, that's one of the things that I was constantly doing. Should I say this? Should I do this? Like, what am I doing next? Oh, even with tonight's call, there was one little bit where I was like, should I write notes? Should I call in early? And then I just was like, no. Like, what am I doing? This is the stuff that keeps us playing life small. So stop monitoring yourself and speak your mind. The other thing is, one of the things that I could offer you is get the heck out of your own way, like immediately. That's one of the things that I did. I knew that in order to have what I didn't have before, I had to get out of my own way. And again, it was a decision, but it was first having the awareness that I was in my own way. The other thing is really to embrace your journey wherever you are. Because if we're beating ourselves up for not being good enough or not having a certain level of achievement, we're just keeping ourselves in that same spot. So really embrace where you are and acknowledge it without beating yourself up, without judgment. The next one would be like cut the cord. You know, cut the cord with toxic and negative people and like don't delay it. Do it now and don't worry about what they're going to think of you or how they're going to react. If it feels good for you to release them from your life, do it. And the close to last one is honor who you are. Like I said before, really highlight your greatness and don't concentrate on what's not working about you. I never speak in the sense of what's my weakness, never, because it keeps me being weak. So I always say and I always look at myself, well, what works about me and what doesn't work about me? And the last one, and I wrote this really big on a board, is, and this goes out, it's sort of speaking to the women, but the men, change it around and look at it for as a male perspective of it. But it's I wrote really big, get your bitch on. And bitch is beauty in total control of herself. So whatever is going to work for the guys, it's that works for me, Jeff. You know, it's one of the things I want to like really inspire women to understand that you're powerful. You could create anything that you want. You just have to make a decision. You have to not just you make a decision and just get out of your way.
And you are unequivocally crushing it. Now, there are only people listening in here who have stories. They create a future tense story that hasn't happened. And I know you've overcome a lot of your stories. One of the stories that people have is they have this story about what their friends and family are going to think. And they also have a story about the industry that they've chosen. They're not really grounded in it. How many years have you been a veteran of this industry at this point now in your career?
Since 2005.
All right, so now you've crossed into, you're going to be in your 12th year of this industry. And then as a businesswoman, how many years have you owned businesses?
Well, I own businesses with my ex-husband, so probably about, in and out, about 20 years.
All right, so when you were early in your career, 11, 12 years ago, what were some of the most common challenges that you faced as a new businesswoman in network marketing and direct sales?
Pyramid scheme. That this is a pyramid scheme, and nobody makes money in this. Is that what you mean, Jeff?
Yeah, go ahead and expand on that a little, because I encounter this frequently. Do people ever ask you that anymore?
Not at all.
Right.
Not for years.
Right. So, right. Now, I want to explain. There's a reason. So when people say to you, what do you say when they say this? And your answer is they don't say that to me, right? They don't ask me that. What does that now mean?
It means that I really believe that all our energy, whatever we're feeling, people feel it. We are all connected, and people sense it. And when I first started network marketing, I had that when it was presented to me, I felt it was either a pyramid scheme or products being delivered in a brown paper bag to my neighbors. I had that feeling. But what I did, Jeff, and I would definitely recommend that, is become so grounded in your belief in network marketing. That's one of the first things I teach a brand new person in my organization and my enterprise is become really grounded in your belief. So what I did is I went to the library and I took out a book on network marketing. I took out Network Marketing for Dummies. And I educated myself about how powerful it is. But the minute I started having that energy of like, you can't tell me that this is a pyramid scheme. Even if I don't have the success yet, I have the belief. And I'm not at 1 or 2 or 3 in my belief. My belief is a 10. So when you're at that belief, when you're at that level of belief, you're indestructible. Nobody could say anything to you. And it's not like I'm going back and being aggressive back to them or I have to defend myself. I'm very calm. I mean, if I hear someone saying to somebody else, like, oh, that's a pyramid scheme, I'm very calm about it. I never get agitated, and I actually ask them, well, explain to me what's a pyramid scheme, because I never understood what it was. And I just had this judgment around it without really being educated around it. So I would say if you don't have a strong belief yourself in it, first of all, is get really grounded and educated on how powerful this industry and this profession is. And then from that, your feelings are going to be projected onto others where you're not going to care if anybody says that to you because you really, you know the truth. You know the truth about it.
Great answer. Joy, there's three phases to direct sales and network marketing. There's lead generation, there's prospecting, qualifying the lead, then there's the team building, which you are skilled at all three. And you definitely have more leads than time. Now, people ask you frequently, where do I get leads? When someone asks you that, how do you answer that question, where do I get leads?
Well, Jeff, the way that I explain that and the way that I would answer that, and I do answer it, is for me, it's been about relationships with people. You know, everybody's different. And yes, there's LinkedIn, there's social media. I use social media. What I share on social media is mostly my lifestyle. I never talk about network marketing. It really has become more of what my life is like. But ultimately, it's about the relationships. And my come from is not walking out of my door and saying, well, who am I going to get to be part of my enterprise today? Who am I going to get to order products from me today? It really isn't. It's the mindset of walking out of my door and saying, whose life am I changing today? And if you are in that mindset and you are in relationship with people and you're so great at this, I've learned so much from you with asking questions, that's part of being in relationship with people. So that's what I do. And I've become better and better at asking the questions. As a matter of fact, I was with someone the other day, and my daughter was with me. One of my twins was with me. And I was asking this woman so many questions, Jeff, that Sophia actually said to me, Mom, you're asking her so many questions. And I was happy. I smiled when she said that because I'm like, well, then I'm definitely doing the right thing. I'm definitely doing what works because I am getting to know this woman. You know,
you
and
did.
That's what it's about.
Fact-finding and rapport building.
Exactly.
I watched a clip today of Vaynerchuk. It's going around Gary Vaynerchuk, who wrote the book Crush It.
Yeah.
And his newest book is Ask Gary Vee. There's a video going around that's going viral today of him speaking at a network marketing company, and he covers the topic patience. And he says in that video that there's a high probability that most of you in this room as business owners won't succeed because you're not patient enough to learn the skills. What's your take on that about patience and being a business owner?
Oh, absolutely, Jeff. And actually, I love Gary Vaynerchuk. I saw him live in New York, and he was incredible. And I completely agree with patience. And we don't. You know, we live in a world where we want instant gratification all the time. And if you're looking to build an enterprise that's going to be actually part of your life, you know, become a lifestyle for you for the rest of your life, if you don't have the patience for it, you're going to be making a lot of mistakes, and you might quit. And this is definitely not the profession where you want to quit. There's just so much prosperity awaiting you here. So being patient means really accepting the journey you're on. And I'm not saying be, you know, sitting back and not taking action. But if something doesn't work out, it's like if something doesn't work out my way, I recommit. And part of what I did is I had a goal to be at a certain level. You know, and I actually reached that level this past New Year's weekend for 2016. But I had written that goal down ever since I promoted to the level before it. And it was for about 2 years. I kept writing, I am at this level, whatever the level was, by this date. And that date would come, Jeff, and I didn't get there. But instead of beating myself up and saying, forget it, this doesn't work, I wrote it down again, and I changed the date to a new date, and I hung it up on my wall, and I would look at it every day and really feel it, and then that date didn't come. And again, I didn't beat myself up. I took that piece of paper down. I wrote a new one. I wrote a new date. I declared a new goal, and I put it back up. And then there was a shift that happened. Part of it, a big part of it, was coaching with you, where when I wrote it down, I knew. This last time, I knew that it was going to happen. So it definitely took patience, and the journey wasn't always easy, and I wasn't always happy in it, but it worked out the way it was supposed to work out. Is that making sense, Jeff?
It's a great answer. And here's a question that You will give great value to this because you have overcome this yourself. What hinders a large percent of the population, whether it's in business or out of business, is they become neurochemically and emotionally addicted to a set of feelings that becomes their identity.
Yeah.
A large percent of society spends a great deal of their time in their head being checked out, meaning they are emotionally overwhelmed. Now, you have a lot of obligations. You've been through a lot of challenges. I mean, you were in the NFL club with two small daughters at that point. How do you let go of being overwhelmed, and what do you do not to be overwhelmed? It's a two-part question. You can answer whatever you want.
How do I get over being overwhelmed?
Right. And what do you do not to be overwhelmed at this point in your life?
Well, how I get over it is I get physical. I feel a very big part of it for me is changing my physical state. It always helps. And even before the calls or, you know, calls that I do, I jump up and down usually before I get on a call. I physically go and do something like work out. That's what I do. That's what helps me in the overwhelmed state. But I also look at my goals because it helps me to get back into what the bigger picture is, you know? So that's what helps me get through the overwhelm. There are still times, Jeff, you know, that I do get overwhelmed. But again, it's like the above the line, below the line. I don't allow myself to be there too long. There's something that changed in me, Jeff. And again, there's no steps on how to explain it. Something just changed where it's not happening as often as it was. Even with challenges that are happening now in my life, and I have a lot of challenges. There's nobody in my family. I literally have no family left. There's all ties have been broken in my family. My brother literally had my mom take me out of her will. Like all this stuff. I'm back in court with my ex-husband. We all have stuff. And I could easily go back to that place of, oh my God, how's that going to work out? How's the court going to work out? You know, I might not have the head to work my business. Oh my God. It's like I could get in all that. But I don't anymore because it never worked. It got me in such a state of anxiety and depression, and it just spiraled that I don't want to be there anymore. So if something happens, I take a deep breath. I do something physical. One of the things that helps me is I actually punch not hard, but the inside of my palm. It's silly maybe, but it works for me. Just doing something physical works for me. And it doesn't happen as often as it did before.
Well, you don't give it the same energy or the same power, and you're also a lot more productive, and your energy is devoted to a result and to a solution than it is to a problem. Unfortunately, a large percent of society focuses more on their problems than they do on the solution. And people's self-talk joy is what talks them out of success, out of joy, and out of peace. Most of society does not understand how critical and judgmental they are of themselves. They don't monitor communication. I coach 12, 13 hours a day, and I point out to people how critical they are of themselves or how they don't break through because their self-talk keeps them in a state of overwhelm. They talk themselves virtually into overwhelm. They edify how much they procrastinate. They say things like, I'm the world's worst procrastinator. They check out and laugh, thinking it's funny. They don't understand how abusive they are to themselves. And when they go to bed at night, they toss and turn. They don't rest. Then they edify that by saying, I can't turn my brain off. I can't shut my mind off. I can't go to sleep at night. They speak into existence the very reality they seek to avoid, to perpetuate a set of feelings that keeps them emotionally addicted. And then they'll ask you and me, how do I? When how do I is never the answer to the transformation that it sought. The answer is always done in why do I, number one, and I am, number two. To state, declare, to affirm, it's the beginning of a belief, and a belief is a sense of certainty. When you live in uncertainty, you'll attract a reality, like-minded non-success seekers to fulfill your disappointment. And you could write a book on this because you've been through some of the same situations that I've been through. You once had a degree from Fashion Institute of New York, correct?
Yes, it's the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York City.
Now, the reason I bring this to the call tonight is because you were very creative and innovative. You were able to create on command. You could see the outcome before you started. Now, how important is that to be able to see the outcome before you start in a belief, a sense of certainty? Now, this is the contradiction. You're able to see the outcome before you start, but you must be unable to, you must be able to not be attached to the outcome before you start. Just like you said, your goal didn't manifest immediately. You were patient. How important is it to be able to have that kind of belief, like you, and be creative and innovative? Can you open up on that a little?
Yes, I can, Jeff. It's very important. And you were just sharing about like the things that we say to ourselves. My self-talk changed.
Mine
and
too.
It's incredible. You will not, no one will hear me say a negative thing about myself. I never say, oh, how stupid. Why did you do that, Joy? That was so stupid. There's nothing like that coming out of my mouth. There was at one point a long time ago.
Joy, I told one of my clients that tonight, I said, you would never hear me de-edify myself. It just doesn't happen. That doesn't mean I'm not objective about myself. But you'll never hear me go, I'm so stupid. I just don't do that. It's not in my consciousness anymore. It's just like I don't do that. I don't get overwhelmed. I don't live in anxiety. I can rest on command. There's certain brainwave states and certain skills I've taught myself by being in the game long enough to be able to master my emotions, to master the game.
That's so true, Jeff. And it's so much easier having life become so much easier when we do that, when we have that positive self-talk about ourselves. And it's unfortunate that a lot of people still are more comfortable beating themselves down than they are to lift themselves up. And edifying ourselves, I mean, that's one of the key things I would actually add to my list when you ask me what pointers would I give in my to-be list, is edify yourself every day. And one of the things I actually do with my kids, Jeff, is that when they are doing that, if I catch them doing that, and I definitely recommend this to anyone, is like I go in front of the mirror, I bring them in front of the mirror, and I have them say things about themselves, all the great things about themselves while they're looking in the mirror. And I feel that most people look in the mirror and they look at everything that's not working about themselves. So how can they be successful? How can they attract the right prosperity partners when they're doing that?
2 years ago, you were not in the mindset you are today. You were in the process, though. You were not in the no funds and no friends left. You had crossed the bridge. You'd had success on and off in the industry. You were not an overnight success, but you were successful when you found the company that you became a millionaire in. But I did watch you reach the law of the lid. About 2 years ago, your game really began to change. There were a couple women in your team that were significant that had a quantum leap with you. What can happen in this business in 12 months for the people listening on tonight's call? What magic can happen, Joy, that you've lived?
Jeff, I every day I am grateful because my income has doubled in 12 months. And like you said, you know, that when I had the law of the lid, when I was experiencing that, I couldn't break through that $15,000 a month. And I know people are on the call saying, wow, $15,000 a month, it's great. But that was my law of the lid, you know, that I couldn't break through that. And to be able to I almost feel like, is this real? You know, I know you had said, Alexis had said to you when you asked her, how did it feel? And she said, it's surreal. It is surreal to be earning now $35,000 a month in my enterprise, and it's a global enterprise, and being a single mom that had so many struggles, it's incredible. And there's such a sense of freedom. You know, that's the freedom for me, is to be able to live my each day as I choose and be present for my girls, and that's what this has afforded me, to be able to do that in 12 months. It's surreal, Jeff.
Well, you paid the price and you're still paying it because the game never ends, as you know. What's an average day like for a single mom with twin girls who owns a business and is in the process of also branding herself internationally?
Jeff, I have a plan for the day, And for those of you that are parents and you know, and if some of you are single parents, something is always coming up. There's always something that comes up, whether you get a call from the nurse. So a typical day, there really are no typical days, not in my life. But what I do is having the assistant and having a planner and being able to follow what I'm doing for the day, it actually guides me. And that's one of the things that helped me. And hearing you interview various people like Alexis and Susan Sly, where before I wasn't working with even a system of having a planner and working with a calendar and writing, having a notebook. That's a huge shift for me. And that's part of the tools that I use to have a day, you know, a working day. I don't have a typical day, though. I do have AIC time, which you say is, you know, ass in chair time. Do I do that? Absolutely. But my days can vary. And that's one of the things that I was able to embrace, because I was beating myself up for not being that systematic. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I know exactly what you mean. It means that you adapt and adjust as part of being creative and innovative. It means that because of you have obligations, in a relaxed body, you're able to adapt and adjust to a new set of reflexes. But if you're rigid, overwhelmed, and consumed with being perfect, don't want to make mistakes and get in trouble, that's when you get overwhelmed. This is why you have to be able to adapt and adjust to the situation at hand. That's why, I mean, that's an athletic skill. It's a real skill. It's a martial arts skill. It's any of these situations where you're able to relax in your body and be able to flow with what's happening with you. But when you create resistance with and you meet resistance, that's force versus force, you're going to end up being the counterforce. When you are power, you stand alone. And the power you seek to create is non-physical, non-linear. It's an emotional power and awareness that creates an energy that becomes effectuous and attractive. Being attractive can be an asset, but having energy that's attractive for people to collaborate with, connect with, they feel you, they have that charisma, you have it, it exudes from you. Joy, some of it was innate, some of your energy is innate, but like you said, you've also been to, I know this for a fact, hundreds, possibly even thousands of rallies, workshops, conventions, coaching, events, books, CDs, podcasts, downloads, cassette tapes, maybe even long LPs going back in the day. You've been in the game a long time. You're a veteran of free enterprise. You've bent, but you've never really broken. You've been flexible enough to be able to adapt and adjust. Just like you said, your day is not a routine. You consistently are able to create that kind of space. Now you mentioned earlier the ability to ask the questions in a sequence. Can you share a few prospecting tips? Because this is where most people have challenges. They tend to go out and talk, and they aren't clear on who their avatar is or who their ideal client is. Can you share with the folks a little bit about how you went from being a talker once upon a time to a very skilled asker?
That's such a great question, Jeff, because one of the things that was coming up for me is, and what I've experienced from watching other people so much, is over talking so much, like not listening enough. So one of the biggest tips that I have is, and that's part of the asking questions, because when you're asking questions, now you're ready to listen to what they have to say. I hope someone's listening. But that's one of the key things, is listening. And the questions in a sequence for me starts from listening to what someone's saying to fill the void for them in their lives. So it's very easy for me to have a conversation with someone standing at the bank line. And I never go from, and my girls watch me do this all the time, it's never like, oh, I'm going to talk to them about, you know, what I do, or it's never about that. I actually, and maybe it's just something, maybe it's because I'm so intuitive, I could feel someone's pain. So if I'm hearing somebody have a conversation with somebody else, and there's a hole to fill, if you know what I mean, in that conversation. If I feel that there's something there that is missing for them, even just as a person that loves helping people, I will sometimes just say something like, hey, how are you feeling going through that? And have a conversation with them and ask the questions. But I'm very good and I've gotten better. My listening skills have improved dramatically.
They have. I can tell, and you are much more attentive, much more aware, and much more conscious than you were 4 or 5 years ago. But once again, this is evolution. This is because you have crossed the bridge of I'm sure I can, but now you know you can. And in that no state, you attract to your reality a different kind of like-minded prosperity partner, meaning they virtually show up. It was a couple years ago that you had a whole group of young people show up in your team, and some of your teammates at the same time started to really break through. I mean, the law of attraction, can you, as we start to wrap up, you've seen me cover the science of attraction. I've heard you cover the law of attraction many times. How can people put that their attractor factor into play in the next 90 days and attract and create what they require to build a business?
Okay, Jeff, first is getting clear on what it is you want to attract. And that was one of the things that was missing for me. I wasn't clear on what I wanted to attract. And the way to get clear, do it however works for you. For me, I have to sit in quiet. It's the only way that will work for me. I got to get really clear and quiet on what is it that I want to attract, and then writing it down. Because so many people, and I teach my team members this, and you know, a lot of people know this, like, any kind of goals, if we just think about them, I don't know the percentage. You may know the percentage, but I think it's like 4 to 10% of goals that we just think about materialize. But if we actually write them down, it brings up the percentage a great deal. And then writing them down, you know how when you ask at events, like, what does freedom look like to you? And, you know, someone will say, well, travel. But the more detailed that you are with a deadline, the more likely that you'll have that manifest in, you know, 90 days. So for me, I mean, I have my list of goals, and they're not just, I want to go to Italy or I want to go to Tahiti. There's my goal, say I'm in Tahiti and with who, by when, by December 15, 2017. And I even say the kind of time I'm going to have there, an amazing time filled with laughter, love, passion, and fun. These are always my goals. Like, when I write down, being as detailed as possible with a deadline, you have a much higher percentage, a much higher chance of having it materialize.
Great tip, and you're absolutely correct. And you're a testament and a testimony to being able to create on command. You mentioned earlier in tonight's call a key point that I want to wrap the call up with. You mentioned branding. You mentioned that you don't market your company, your product. You said that you share your lifestyle on social media. What does that mean, being that kind of vulnerable, Joy?
Well, my intention with my social media pages, Jeff, is to be myself. And that's another tip that I like to give today. The more you try to be like somebody else, or the more you put on almost like a front, and I'm going to, I hope it's okay, but I just feel like sometimes it just comes out of me, the passion about it. People could smell the bullshit. Like, if you're putting on a front about things in your personal life out there on the media, people could sense that. But if you're truly yourself and authentic, so I won't go and tell my sad story, but I will say things that kind of give an idea and show a little bit more vulnerability about myself in some of the posts that I do. Whatever I post or whatever I put out there on social media, my intention, and that's so important too, what is your intention? My intention is always to make a difference. Like, all right, who is this going to make a difference to? Because one of the things that I learned is that if I'm always focusing on myself, there's no growth in that. And one of the things that I did when I hit rock bottom, and any time that I'm feeling in a funk, I go out and make a difference to somebody else, whether it's walk dogs at the shelter, whether it's compliment someone, whether it's buy a cup of coffee for someone at the store, just it just works. It works when we're not focusing on ourselves anymore, instead of focusing all the junk that's happening in our lives, to be out there focusing on somebody else. So I don't know if I went off on a tangent on that, but I felt like I wanted to share that, Jeff, because I feel so passionate about it.
That was a good tangent. It was about living in the solution. It was about creating results. It's about being present, being here, and being now. For anyone who is new, Joy, how can anyone get a hold of you that might want to find out more about some of your upcoming events, products, services, coaching and branding, how can they connect with you?
Jeff, they could always find me on social media under my name, Joy Schoenholz. It's S-C-H-O-N-H-O-L-Z. I also have an email at myfindingjoy@gmail.com.
Joy, thank you for being on tonight's call. Look forward to October 8th in beautiful Long Island, New York. I'll be connecting with you that Friday evening. Can't wait to spend that weekend with you. Once again, everyone, that is Joy Schoenholz, multiple six-figure mompreneur, first-class woman, philanthropist, and great entrepreneur. I want to thank each and every one of you for being on tonight's call. This call is officially wrapped. It has been recorded. Will be available on Podomatic and playback tomorrow at 9 o'clock Pacific, 12 Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, everyone, for being on tonight's call, and have an outstanding weekend. And I'll see you next Tuesday. On Tuesday, October 4th, I will have Susan Sly as my guest. And on Tuesday, that's Tuesday, October 4th. And then Tuesday, October 18th, I will have Dr. Joe Dispenza as my guest. And November 1st, I will have Michael Perkins as my guest, who is a multiple six-figure income earner in the legal cannabis field. So with that, everyone, have a great evening. Look forward to connecting with you. Thanks, and good night.
Thank you, Jeff.